Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that goes where others fear to tread. And we've pretty much been everywhere, especially with my very special guest, James. Right now, in the UK, was it just this morning that you received the news or something? What are we talking about here?
Yesterday morning. And by the way, are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, just fine.
Okay. Yeah, I've been experiencing very anomalous communication and disruptions all day yesterday and today. So, yeah, I'm here. I just get in, have a nap, speak with my publisher, and I'm literally unpacking, and the phone rings. And it's the fiancé of a very good friend of mine. And he's a bit of a controversial figure, but people out there listening can just take my word on it that he is a good man, a total scholar and very influential figure of our time. I highly suggest his works. His name is Nicholas de Vere. Some know him as Prince Nicholas de Vere. He's royal Hungarian prince. He is the head of the Priory of Sion and, of course, owner of the Dragon Court. Yeah, we'd been friends for quite some time all throughout my tenure in Freemasonry when the things that happened to me did. He was very sympathetic. He took my side. He was a very outspoken supporter of the work I'm trying to do and, you know, the reform I'm trying to push for and everything else. And he sort of joined up with me, and we've had a lot of good times and so on, and really made a lot of progress. And he, you know, opened doors for me at the European Union, which really allowed me to push for what I'm pushing for politically, globally, all that. And so, you know, I will always be very grateful to him. And the phone rings. I'm unpacking. It's his fiance. And they had just bought a second house. She had been there during the week attending school, getting things, you know, I guess put where they wanted them and decorated and whatnot. And he had stayed behind at their old house on the west coast of Wales. And so she went home for the weekend. It was nighttime there and morning here for me. And when she got there, she found that he had been murdered. And when I say murdered, I mean overkill, a hit of the highest levels. Nicholas de Vere is dead, and there is a complete media blackout on this, and the police in the UK are acting extraordinarily stupid. I went to them, I contacted them with my diplomatic credentials that Nicholas supplied me with in the event of an emergency such as this, and you know, demanded to know what's going on, demanded to see the progress in their investigation, everything. And I was told that the way he was found and everything has one simple explanation, that he had a heart attack. Well, let me tell you how he was found. And if there are children listening, you might want to shoo them away for a moment. She found him naked. There were lacerations suggesting some sort of ritualized whatever. And it was very evident that he fought very hard for his life, because the whole room that he was in was destroyed, as in, like, the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They go to kill each other, and really all they do is destroy the room in the process. Well, that's sort of what it looked like. I mean, it just demolition, complete destruction. And he put up a hard fight against his assailant, and he didn't win. And so he's dead. And all the work. He is the man responsible for the Freemasons recently having their rights to the Knight Templar material revoked. He is the man who is responsible for the call politically to have the Scottish Rite shut down globally, calling for all of Freemasonry to be reformed and complete transparency in it, just like I am. And that is all now finished. All our work, all of it, is now gone. And he is gone. And it's, I mean, I'm still in a state of shock. I have certain duties as cultural attaché that he appointed me as that I have to fulfill. I don't even know what to expect next. I don't know. I might have some phone calls from attorneys or politicians or, you know, I don't even know how much longer my .eu email address will be active. I mean, because he's gone, and the scope of our work is gone. And, you know, the books that he wrote were that made him quite famous were the Dragon Legacy and the Dragon Seed, C-E-D-E, and they touched a lot of people's lives. He was like a father figure to so many of us from these corrupted, screwed-up bloodline families. He himself is bloodline, but, you know, he understands, and that's why he was a mentor to so many. And he will be greatly missed, and no one even knows about this because there's a complete media blackout on it. And the police are sitting there saying, oh, he had a heart attack. And in the process of this heart attack, destroyed every item virtually, plus walls, plus an entire room of his house, while stripping naked and evidently cutting himself. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's once again corruption within the House of Windsor and Freemasonry working hand in hand to do the most awful things. And I cannot believe that he had to depart this earth that way. I mean, it just kills me to think about it. I mean, he at least deserved the dignity of dying an old man, you know, peaceful in his bed, and he was denied that. He was assassinated in a very sadistic manner, Vinny, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know. I was on the phone with the FBI earlier, and you know, no one is addressing the issue, and this talk of heart attack has got me just furious, you know, because his fiance called me first. I got the information first, so I know what was going on there while the police were still there. And what they're saying now is, which they're not saying anything to the press, but what they're saying to us is complete BS. And knowing him as I did, he would be absolutely furious with it, and he'd be raising hell. So, you know, a lot of people are going to mourn this man and his passing, unnatural passing, because he had a lot of years left, a lot of things left that he wanted to do. We were working tirelessly to come up with political solutions, peaceful solutions, to put an end to the current awful, awful ways of Freemasonry and their global dominance. And I don't even know what's coming tomorrow now, because he was my strongest supporter still within, you know, the a higher echelon environment. And so I'm sort of feeling like the lone wolf at the moment, you know? It's very difficult. So.
Yeah. Well, it occurs to me that within the UK and the police force. I think I just saw a documentary once that said that about maybe a third of sworn officers are also sworn Masons who value their membership to Freemasonry above their membership to the to the police force. So these kind of cover-ups become almost certain that kind of a hand of Masonry involved.
Stories. You're right. You're absolutely right. He's told me plenty of stories over the years and about that. And if ever he had legal issues, he would deal with being a prince and a diplomat. You know, he had the luxury of being able to just deal direct with Interpol. But and he would, you know, accomplish some amazing results whenever he was threatened or had legal problems or what have you. So he knew not to trust the police, and he would be absolutely mortified at the way that this is all being handled. And, you know, the stark reality of it is that everyone that had associations with him closely is now in danger, and there's people that I still haven't even gotten around to calling yet. You know, this has been an ongoing thing all day long. I've had to recharge my phone 3 times just to make the phone calls I have, and it's got a long battery life. So, you know, that is crucial to say that if any of them are listening, I'm not talking about a lot of people here, but if you were associated with the work we were doing at the EU, then your life is now in danger because they got to him and he was an untouchable. So we thought, you know, he's the head of the frickin' Priory of Zion and he's been bumped off. But he's been very outspoken over the years. A lot of people know from his work against some of his family members, by which I mean the House of Windsor. So, you know, he was very taken aback by their actions over Diana and everything. He was one of the good ones. He was like the diamond in the rough of a very, very dysfunctional and sick family, you know, back to that subject of bloodlines, which he has written extensively about. He was the world's foremost expert on that because he was an insider willing to speak about it. And, you know, now he's gone. So,
What do you do? You know, and that's the kind of position I think you've kind of found yourself in, is that you've got these incredibly dangerous, evil people whose power is virtually limitless, and now they're threatening all the people that are, and all the work that's been done to expose and overthrow them just like that. And nobody knows.
It's like 5 years of what we've worked on went up one puff of smoke in 1 second.
Well, see, at least on the bright side, we are talking about it on air now, so at the very least the listeners to this broadcast know about it. But I try to help people, especially in their time of need, James, and I hope that I have helped you with these last couple of weeks and months and whatnot that you've been on the run, and now you're at least somewhere safe.
You've become one of my closest friends. I mean, Vinny, you're the real deal, and I trust you more than I would trust, you know, this latest thing with my mother. I mean, it was such a personal and trying matter for me to be tackling again in my life that, you know, I've been able to weed out a couple more friends who were not really friends, who were serving other interests. And, you know, there's such a sickness right now in the world with all these lies and injustices and things being done, and, you know, they're losing this battle against us, the truthers/patriots of the world, but it's very slow. It's very painful, a very painful death for them. They're going out with absolute just marquis de Sade, sick, sadistic actions toward others, and they just need to be stopped. They need to stop. They need to be stopped. It's so far gone out of control. I mean, I feel relatively physically safe at the moment, but that's not to say that any one of the people walking down the street I'm on, which is a major thoroughfare here in Los Angeles, could be suspicious. You know, it's like that scene in The Matrix with the woman in the red dress. It's just anybody could be an agent right now is sort of the thing. So, you know, I'm behind secure, gated walls times three. You know, physically, I'm fine at the moment, but it's just this crazy now.
Well, you can't live your life under frickin' house arrest, can you?
No. I mean, I'm going out later to see a very dear friend, Lon Milo Duquette, who every time I see him, something extraordinarily good happens in my life. So I'm hoping, you know, that such will be the case again this
evening. Maybe you're due for some good news, James. We'll be right back, right, ladies and gentlemen, with James Wright at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.